As I mentioned in message one, messages one and two are closely related because they're based upon the record in Genesis concerning Noah, the time in which he was living, and the experience and significance of the ark and the new situation on the earth after he emerged from the ark. And in message one, we spoke with some emphasis on, as it was in the days of Noah, that immoral, lawless, violent period of time, that will be the age in which we will be living prior to the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation will be indescribably worse. But now in the second message, we are sharing something based upon two things that were part of Noah's ministry and testimony. One concerns the perverted, the crooked generation in which he was living. He had no choice. It was a lawless time. But he was in that narrow line of those faithful to God, believing what they had received from their parents and other family members. They believed in God. They took his way. One like Enoch walked with God 300 years. And he was pleasing to God and was translated, that is, raptured. And so the ark that Noah built had a twofold typological significance and a twofold function. So the twofold significance in typology is that it typifies Christ personally, our salvation. When Noah and his family entered the ark, they were entering into Christ, who was their salvation. But what we will see in the second section of this message is that the ark also typifies what we call, based upon the New Testament, it typifies the corporate Christ, the Christ who is not only the head of the body, but he is in every member of the body. So Christ and all the believers, the members, are the corporate Christ. We will consider that in some detail. And then the twofold function of that ark with Noah, and it also has a spiritual application for us. Being in that ark saved him and his family from that lawless generation. And that same ark ushered them into another realm. We may say it was a new beginning on the earth. God was still fulfilling his purpose, but he established now on the earth human government, so there would be at least some kind of order and peace for God to work through his chosen people to fulfill his purpose. And Christ as our salvation, and Christ as the corporate Christ, will have these two functions: saving us, ushering us. Saving us from this present evil, anti-godly, lawless, violent, hate-filled period of time, this generation. And in this Christ, the corporate Christ, the church, the body in its reality, that will bring us into the coming kingdom in manifestation. The earth will be a radically different place, still in the old creation, but no human government in its place, the righteous kingdom of God, no money. And then all of nature will be so much more recovered. The people that are obsessed, or at least committed, you know, to what is called green, to them is the most important thing in the universe. You just read portions of the prophecies, like in Isaiah, the deserts will be blossoming, it will be a lovely place. Satan will be bound in the abyss. But at the end of that age, there will be a final war, then the ultimate judgment, the result, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, the wife of the Lamb. So now we come to the outline. I read the title just to make it clear. Being saved from the crooked and perverted generation, to be the corporate Christ as today's ark. And I think the best thing, the best way for me to release the burden on this portion is to read this part of the outline with comment on certain points, and then seek the Lord how to release the burden concerning how this all applies to us. One, today there are only two things on earth: the crooked and perverted generation, and the church as the corporate expression of Christ. This is quite a statement. There is either the crooked and perverted generation that includes the entire world system. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the evil one. And there's a big, even huge religious section of organized, systematized religion. The Apostolic Roman Catholic Church, that's not the corporate expression of Christ. All the religious organizations and denominations, those structures, those organizations, are not part of the corporate expression of Christ. They're part of this evil age. A, whoever is not in the church as the corporate expression of Christ today is in the crooked generation. As long as a believer in Christ is not built up in the church, that one is in the crooked and perverted generation. If a believer, a child of God, is not in the church, that one is not in the testimony of Jesus. Rather, such a believer is in the crooked and perverted generation of the present evil age. B, the entire world, with its unbelieving and believing aspects, is condemned by God. God is using his loving and faithful seekers in his recovery to protest against today's trend. See, the church, as the corporate expression of Christ, is a testimony against today's evil generation. The church is the testimony of Jesus, protesting against the crooked, evil, and perverted generation. Our existence, our being a golden lampstand, standing in a particular city, just the existence of this golden lampstand is a testimony against this evil generation. It is light from God, light that is God, shining in the darkness of this evil age. As the testimony of Jesus, we, the church, as the corporate expression of Christ, stand against the present crooked and perverted generation. In Acts 2:40, when Peter was preaching the gospel, he said, "Be saved from this crooked generation." In Philippians 2, with verses 12 and 13 as the basis, in verses 15 and 16, Paul says, "We are a light shining in this crooked and perverted generation." This is, according to God's intention, what a recovered, genuine local church is. Now, I want to just repeat point A and points 1 and 2, because here there is quite a weighty burden. And I believe I can say before the Lord a deep, loving concern. Whoever is not in the church as the corporate expression of Christ today is in the crooked generation. As long as a believer in Christ is not built up in the church, that one is in the crooked and perverted generation. If a believer, a child of God, is not in the church, that one is not in the testimony of Jesus. Rather, such a believer is in the crooked and perverted generation of the present evil age. There are only two things on earth: the crooked and perverted generation and the church as the corporate expression of Christ. And it's just simply a fact that the Lord's recovery, the goal of the Lord's recovery, is building up the church as the body of Christ, the corporate expression of Christ. As we will explain in a while later, the corporate Christ. Now, some years ago, I spent a weekend, as I often did, in a certain part of the country, of the United States. And in that part of the country, many very big incorporations had their headquarters. And it was a place where many young adults, believers and unbelievers alike, who are finished their education, they get very high-paying jobs. They could start, they're only 23, 24, start with their pay being over $100,000. So that is a characteristic of that area. And in one particular weekend, on a Friday night, we had a meeting in a meeting hall of one of the churches in that area. And the meeting place was just filled, overflowing. And there were many young adult saints there, saints of all ages. And I'd never done this before or since. As I was giving that message, I said, tomorrow night, Saturday night, we will be meeting elsewhere in a convention center. And a very weighty burden will be released Saturday night in that meeting. And so we went there, as I mentioned, and there's a good number of saints there, several hundred saints. And I just released the message the best I was able at the time, under the Lord's leading. And after the meeting, I was sitting next to one of the co-workers, who was also an elder in one of the churches there. And he said he noticed that very few young adults were in that meeting. And then he told me he was able to go online in something called Instagram. I don't Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or anything like that. It's much safer not to. And many, on that Saturday night, they were doing things for their enjoyment. Some were in a restaurant having gourmet food with wine. Others were in a professional NBA basketball game. They're so happy. They chose, instead of being in a conference meeting, they chose to live as part of their crooked and perverted generation. And they were happy about it. They enjoyed it. They wanted to share it. Well, from previous and later times of questions and response, I've been asked about balance. What is, how to, how to be balanced in our human life and church life. And the concept of many is with a certain time I reserve for the church, Lord's Day morning most of the time, but other time, to be balanced, it's for things not only that I need, but I enjoy, like having gourmet food and sipping on wine and having a happy time. So I responded, I needed to respond. I would say, you want me to comment on balance according to God. Here is balance. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, all the things you need that unbelievers are anxious about. You seek first. Not you seek part-time. You seek sometime. First. And then in 1 Timothy, toward the end of that epistle, Paul is giving practical direction. Here you're living in the church life. You have to take care of your family. If there in your family is a widow and she really hopes to be married again, she's not that old, take care of her. So you begin with Matthew 6:33. Then you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think. There you have balance. Something is first. Not two things are equally first. So what I realized and what has been weighing on my heart ever since that weekend and what I learned there is that these dear saints, many of whom graduated from the full-time training in Anaheim or elsewhere, their view of having the church life really is, this is my expression, they have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Any believer who would say, I'm in the Lord's recovery, I'm for Christ and the church, I believe you. Any believer like this is not being built into the corporate Christ. This kind of believer is part of the crooked and perverted generation. Because on that Saturday night, what they did, where they went, what they said was an indicator. We are part of this present age and we enjoy certain aspects of it. I don't know how many woke up in time the next Lord's Day morning that were there. There were a larger number on the Lord's Day morning as usual. And my heart aches for them. I'm not condemning them. I'm not the Lord. I don't judge anyone. I'm not criticizing them. This is their situation. Now, at Noah's time, do you think there were only 8 people who believed in God? Surely there were more. But only 8 were in the ark. The others kept on living, eating, drinking, giving in marriage, working, having fun, buying this and that. They were all terminated by God's judgment on that generation. Only the ones in the ark were rescued. Now, apply this to today. We are either consecrated to Christ for the church, absolutely, or not. We are either fully in the church life, or we are not. We are being built up in the church where we are, or we are not. Just to come and go and call it balanced is a sign someone is not being built up in the church and probably will not be built up in the church. Then what will happen? When? We'll see in the next section. We'll come to it shortly. Once the body of Christ, the corporate Christ, has been built up through certain faithful brothers and sisters in so many local churches, the Lord will decide. The bride has made herself ready. These dear saints have built up the body of Christ in their local churches. It's time for me to come secretly and rapture them. They are the living overcomers. They're part of the prepared bride. And then the judgment comes on everyone on the earth, including all the in and out, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, believers among us. I don't want to see that happen. Please remember, I emphasized in message 1, that as we are living in days like the days of Noah, we need to live a normal, practical, daily human life. That's why I emphasized the brother and the sister who were raptured, and the 2 others, a brother and sister, were left behind. They were all working as usual every day. But there was an inward difference in the raptured brother and the raptured sister. And now, in the light of the ark here that we'll see now, they were built into God's dwelling place. They were ready for him to come. And referring now to certain verses, like in Ezekiel, I think chapter 3, I do not have blood on my hands of the young adults in the Lord's recovery or any other saints regarding this matter of where we really are, what we are really part of. I say again, when I was giving that message that Saturday night, I was not bothered. I was not looking around saying, where is this one? There is that one. I'm just trying to serve the Lord under his blessing. And the brothers who were aware of it, they're not judgmental. They were concerned. So, this matter of being saved from our crooked and perverted generation, that's what happened in Noah's time. And it will happen in our time. And because I have, as clearly and faithfully as I'm able to, I have spoken this word, I am innocent of what happens. You have heard the word. The verses are presented to you. Please know, we will not give up on anyone. We do not love you less. We bear you in our heart. We pray for you. It's not too late for you. But this is, in a sense, a warning. Be saved. Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, you may hear about this message second or third hand. Be saved from the crooked and perverted generation. Now it's up to you. It's up to you. Now we come to Roman numeral 2. And I'll read this lengthy main point. And then I'll share something concerning the corporate Christ, the body Christ, so that this expression will become precious to us. If we would be the corporate expression of Christ in the church life, we need to be today's, quote, family of Noah, building the corporate Christ as the ark that will deliver us from the crooked and perverted generation and usher us into the coming age of the kingdom of God. The function of the church, universal and corporate, is to express Christ. The church is the corporate expression of Christ. Notice this says, if you would be the corporate expression, not just be in it. One can come to a Lord's Day morning meeting every week, month after month, year after year, and say, yes, I'm in the church in this city. You are. But you are not part of the corporate expression of Christ. We need to be like the Noah family, building the corporate Christ as the ark. So the ark built by Noah typifies the individual Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the Lord. It also typifies the corporate Christ, the church as the body Christ, capital B-O-D-Y hyphen Christ, the corporate Christ. And here we need to spend some time. And crucial verses for this are in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For even as the body is one and has many members, Yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. We might expect Paul to say, being many are one body, so also is the church. He said, so also is the Christ. I'll come back to this verse after reading verse 13. For also in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all given to drink one spirit. Now, this expression, the Christ, one body, the Christ. I felt the need and the leading to do some fresh, up-to-date study of this from the Word, from the ministry, and some material that I had written down in one of my folders. And I just would like to read some of the points to be accurate. The church, as the body of Christ, is the corporate Christ, the body Christ. The body Christ is composed of Christ as the head and the church as his body, with all the believers as his members. Now we come to an important point. Christ is both the head and the body. Christ in himself is the head. So only Christ is the head. So Christ in himself is the head of the body. But when Christ is constituted into us, he is the body, because he is in every member of the body. Every member of the body has the all-inclusive Christ as his life and person, because Christ is both the head and the body. He is not only the individual Christ, but also the corporate Christ. So the Christ, who is the head, who is the Lord, the Savior, our coming bridegroom, that is Christ individually, personally. But the Christ who is the head of the body is the life. He is everything in the body, of the body. This makes him every part of the body, because he has constituted himself into every member of the body. So in this way we say, Christ is the body, both the head and the body. This is the corporate Christ. Now, it's somewhat a repetition, but just a few other points may be helpful. I'm trying to make this clear and something that will stay with us. Christ in himself is the head, and Christ in all of us is the body. The Lord Jesus in himself is the head. The Lord Jesus constituted into us is the body. Not only is the head Christ, but also the body is Christ. Christ is the head, and Christ is the body, but we are the body. We cannot be the head, because the head, Christ, is a matter related to the Godhead. We don't have any part of the Godhead. We have the life and nature of God as regenerated children of God, but not the Godhead. But Christ is God and man. So he is the head and the body. We can only be the body and cannot be the head. But the Lord Jesus is both the head and the body. In himself, he is the head. And in us collectively, he is the body. The head is individual. The body is corporate. And so, we back now to Roman numeral 2, building the corporate Christ. We're not just meeting together at certain times in various ways. We're not just doing necessary and practical things together. We, at least many, are building the ark. They're being built into the body of Christ, which is the body Christ, which is the corporate Christ. They're built in. They can't come out. They're part of the building. And so one illustration of the practical side of this is, it's so clear. The Lord has planned this particular event. It's a critical time. And so now, here are some being built in young adults. A few months ago, they bought these tickets, very good seats, at an NBA basketball game Saturday night. And then they found out the meeting on Saturday night is going to be unusually important. We have to go there. Yes, we paid a lot of money for the tickets. We'll try to sell them, or we'll give them away to a friend. This is a no-brainer, as some used to say. We are part of the corporate Christ. We're part of the building. This is something from the Lord. This is a crucial time. This indicates there's a time when you with your family, your children, can just do certain things that are proper and enjoy them. But when it comes down to a choice, you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And this is an indicator of being built in. I think it's time for me to tell you a very true story, a story meaning a recollection of what actually happened. In the spring of 1976, Brother Lee asked for us to arrange on a Thursday when so many saints were coming to serve voluntarily, dozens of them, so faithfully, to have a lunch all together and then some fellowship. And Brother Lee asked anyone who has been helping and serving his ministry in the meetings, those that are ushering, those that are recording, those that are outside helping the parking, all of us, any, were there. And we had a healthy meal, and then Brother Lee shared two things. They're just written on my heart. He sincerely said how thankful he was, how much he appreciates these dear serving ones, that without their help, their serving, he could not carry out his ministry actually and practically. And then, please listen to what he said. Maybe I'll remember this forever. Time will tell. He said, he wanted to share something about Noah's time when he was building the ark. And we don't have a record of this, but it's reasonable to think that during those very, very long time of ark building, and Noah is not only talking to the people around him, he's preaching righteousness. And he was a normal person, although believing in God, following God. And it's very likely that every now and then, someone might help him with the building. Well, let us help you carry this material. You're just doing it all by yourself, you and your family. You know, it's kind of strange what you're doing, but can we just give you a hand? And so this might have happened. I think it's likely. Then this is Brother Lee's point. You're helping me, you're serving me. Maybe like Noah's friends helping him some. But they were not among those who entered the ark. And then he said, he indicated he's concerned that you may be like them. You are really helping me. I already mentioned to you, I appreciate it, I need it. But you are like Noah's friends. You're not building yourself in to what God is doing today. And he had already begun to minister on the corporate Christ. He started that, I think, in 1973. And it's possible that saints who have been in the church, not just for years, decades, so active, faithfully, in every way, in the church life, in the meetings, in the service, in so many things. But they may be in this category of Noah's helpers. They're not being built in. And I have to be very direct here now. I'm not being specific. I'm not indirectly speaking to anyone, I don't do that. But there is such a thing as discernment. And one characteristic of those who know the body in the way of life and are living in the body, they can discern which saints are living in the body and which saints are not. I'm not an expert like this, as Brother Lee was, but I can't deny the inner sense from the Lord's Spirit. This dear one is now in his 80s. His wife is almost the same age. They're in the church. They're not in the body. And many saints are like this. They don't know. But in some cases, they don't want to know. They would say, of course I'm in the body. Of course I know the body. I read that book. I was in that training. I've been here since 1965. Sure, I know the body. Well, okay. And so, dear saints that are fully consecrated to Christ in the church and are active in the local churches, but who are not built into the corporate Christ, they will not be raptured among the first fruits. And they will have to live on the earth throughout the great tribulation, while the ark, the corporate Christ, is rescuing these dear saints from God's judgment on this crooked and perverted generation and is ushering them into the kingdom. They've been raptured to the throne as the corporate Christ, as the bride. Now they are the bridal army, participating in Christ's parousia in a hidden way, coming down to the earth. Then he will be manifested. The enemy will be defeated. Human government will be removed. And the kingdom of the heavens in glory will be manifested on the earth. And those who had built themselves into the ark, who were part of the bride who made herself ready, will now be co-kings for 1,000 years. Now I can read through the outline and honor the time limit that I set and that I think is sufficient in the next 20 minutes to go through and to reinforce all that I shared. A, the ark built by Noah is a type of Christ as the salvation of God's elect. The ark that we are building today is the corporate Christ, the church, as our salvation from today's crooked, perverted, and evil generation. I repeat, the corporate Christ is our salvation. I've been learning and experiencing to some extent, I can testify many, many times, I've been saved simply by being built into the ark. If I was alone, independent, individualistic, isolated, I could never have passed through this. Yes, Christ is our eternal salvation. The corporate Christ is our present salvation in this evil age. B, the church life is today's ark to terminate the present age and bring in God's kingdom. This is the church life today, to terminate and to bring in. The Lord desires, quote, the family of Noah, to build the ark and testify against the trend of the age so that he can use them to terminate the age and bring in the kingdom age. May I ask you, dear ones, sincerely, do you want this age, this present age, to end? If in your heart you're saying yes, then I would ask another question. When? If you would ask me, by the Lord's mercy and grace, Ron, do you want this age to end? Yes, I do. When? As soon as possible, according to God. The sooner, the better. Little A, Noah was saved not only from God's judgment, but also from the crooked, perverted, and evil generation. The kind of salvation that Noah built, secured, and enjoyed was not a salvation merely from eternal perdition, but also out of the crooked, evil generation into a new age. Most of us, maybe virtually all of us, know the basic kingdom truth. We know we have been born of God. We've been regenerated. We've been baptized into the triune God. We are in the kingdom of God as a realm of life. We are in the church as the practical kingdom on earth today. But we will all stand before the Son of Man on that day of judgment, and the overcomers will be received by the Lord into the wedding feast, and they will be on the earth reigning with him for 1,000 years. Surely those living overcomers were those who were saved from their evil generation. They were mature in life. They were raptured. But just consider those that lived 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world, their way of balance, who were really part of this crooked and perverted generation, although they didn't realize it, and may not agree if they were told. They will not only be part of the generation when God's judgment comes, then it's likely that they will not be received into the manifestation of the kingdom. So they had their time, their balanced time, in and out time. They had their enjoyment. They had their Saturday night fun. But now the outcome is you're not rescued from this generation. You're not ushered into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens. So after passing through the Great Tribulation, that period of time, for the next period of time, it's outer darkness. This is the kingdom truth. Many, many millions of believers will be able to tell the Son of Man, we didn't know. We thought we all would be raptured and we would all be in heaven if we died. We didn't know about the kingdom truth. And the Lord would agree. But we will not be able to say that. We're blessed with knowing the truth. But now we are responsible for the truth that we know. Point two, what we are building in the church life is the corporate Christ as the ark for our salvation and for the salvation of the ones under our care. We're not just for ourselves. Oh, I want to be saved. You do what you want. No. The ones under our care. And regarding the ministry of the word is concerned, my portion, just my portion. There are hundreds of saints under my care. I'm not an elder in the church. I'm not in your locality to be with you as your brother. But I'm giving this message for two reasons. One is to obey the Lord's leading, to do His will, to honor Him. And the second is to care for you, young adults with a glorious career ahead of you, highly paid job, beautiful house. You're in my heart. I care for you. I know it's coming. I care for you. You can learn to live your human life in the midst of this age and inwardly being prepared for the rapture. See, the salvation in Philippians 2:12 is the salvation that saved us from the crooked and perverted generation. This salvation is the church as the corporate Christ, whom we are building as today's ark. To have the proper church life is not only to stand on the ground of oneness, but also to build the ark, to save ourselves from the present evil generation and bring us into a new age. Brothers and sisters, just consider what has taken place in this country since the summer of 2020. What has taken place on the earth this year? Just what is going on? I sincerely believe, and we're watching over Europe to see if the Lord will fulfill prophecy soon. I sincerely believe the end is drawing near. I'm not going to predict. No, that's not for me to say. So we're not just here standing on the ground of oneness. As we did in the 60s, we thought, we're here. We've arrived, the local church, this is the goal. We'll stand right here till Jesus comes, standing on the local ground. We sang that little song. But no, we're here to build up the ark, the corporate Christ, the body Christ. Two, we need a salvation that is built not by God directly, but by our daily cooperating with his inward operation. God is operating in us, both the willing and the working of his good pleasure. And so what is happening in our daily life inwardly? Is there a cooperating inwardly with God's inward operation? As I'm speaking this, and you are somewhere receiving this, what is the inward operation taking place right now? What is the Lord trying to gain in us today? D, God wants the church, the ark, where we can be saved from today's evil generation. He wants us to be saved. God wants to save us through the ark. But the crooked generation, from the crooked generation, and usher us into God's kingdom, fulfill his eternal purpose. This is God. God the Father wants to save you through the ark. God our Father wants to save you from this crooked and perverted generation. Our Father God wants to usher you into his kingdom for the fulfillment of his purpose. This is God's heart for us. He wants to save us and usher us. Two, God cares for whether or not we are in the ark, the proper church life. He wants us to be a part of the corporate Christ, part of the testimony of Jesus. God cares. That Saturday night in that part of the United States, it was not only some of the older saints who cared. It was God who cared. He knew where we all were, what we were doing. He didn't come and punish. He cares. He wants us to be saved, but we need to cooperate with him. E, we need not only to preach the individual Christ, but also the corporate Christ, the church, which is today's ark. Through this corporate Christ, we are saved from the crooked and perverted generation. Yes, this outline repeats this point again and again, deliberately. It is the corporate Christ that will save us. While the apostles were preaching the individual Christ, they were building up the corporate Christ, the ark, in which they will enjoy God's full salvation. We should be faithful to do the same thing, preaching the gospel and building the ark, preaching Christ and building Christ. What words? Preaching Christ and building Christ. All over the earth, in Russia now, in Ukraine now, in the countries receiving refugees, Poland, Romania, Germany, Switzerland, and elsewhere. This is an opportunity to preach the gospel of the individual Christ and the gospel of the corporate Christ. Preaching Christ and building Christ. Now the last section. When this ark is built up, the Lord Jesus will return. So we have Revelation 19:7. The bride has made herself ready. That means the body has been built up. That is, the ark has been built up. When the Lord looks upon the world situation, and his eyes are in every local church, and he sees what has been built up in the churches, and he can say to himself and to his Father, the ark has been built up. The body Christ has been built up. The bride has made herself ready. I am coming back. The Lord has not come back yet because he is still waiting for the ark to be built. When the testimony of the church in the Lord's recovery is matured, the Lord Jesus will return. The Lord is just watching, praying, shepherding, ministering, dispensing, fighting on our behalf, longing to see the testimony of the church in the Lord's recovery is matured. He's not coming back for a girl, for a mature counterpart. The Lord Jesus will come. Brothers and sisters, let allow the Lord to save us from the present evil, crooked, perverted generation. And let us in oneness, as never before, build up the ark, the corporate Christ. May we all be built into the ark. And may we all be part of the ark, the corporate Christ, the body Christ. When the Lord comes and the ark, the corporate Christ, saves us from God's judgment and the crooked and perverted generation and ushers us into the kingdom of God. Beloved brothers and sisters, let's all be ark builders. I long to travel with you out of this age into the coming age, together with you, not only in the ark, but as the ark. Lord Jesus, supply us with grace and life for the building up of the ark. Amen.